The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Marta Figueredo, PhD. National MS Society invests $8.7 million in research, clinical trial training. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society invested more than $8.7 million over the summer to support 29 new training fellowships, early career research awards, and other initiatives aimed to advance multiple sclerosis research and care. Awarded research projects align with the Society's Pathways to Cures roadmap, stopping disease activity and progression, restoring function that has been lost by reversing damage and symptoms, and ending the disease by preventing new cases. Stopping MS activity. A total of 15 awarded projects concern work that may help to stop MS activity and progression. Yale University scientists will explore mechanisms that lead to myelin loss, while Northwestern University researchers will use mouse disease models to evaluate how well small chemical compounds might protect myelin-producing cells from damage and death, thereby promoting myelin repair. Of note, myelin is the fatty protective sheath around the nerve fibers that is progressively lost in MS. Researchers at University of California, San Francisco will lead two awarded projects exploring why some neurons are more susceptible to damage in MS and evaluating the effects of targeting fibrinogen, a blood clotting factor previously shown to work as a myelin repair blocker. Two other projects, led by researchers at Johns Hopkins University and the University of Cambridge in the UK, will evaluate the therapeutic potential of modulating the activity of specific molecules in non-neuronal cells, shown to be involved in MS and disease progression. Scientists at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston want to identify new potential targets on immune B cells to optimize B cell targeting MS therapies. B cells, a type of immune cell, are involved in the abnormal immune attacks against myelin. Another project, led by Liwei Wang, PhD of the New York University Langhorne Medical Center, aims to identify ion protein channels controlling immune cell function and new potential therapeutic targets in MS. Pavan Pargava, MD with Johns Hopkins University, will lead work evaluating whether byproducts of energy processes influence MS risk and progression, while two distinct projects by researchers at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center and the University of Southern California will analyze clinical and imaging data to better understand brain damage and discover new predictive factors of disease progression. Two separate projects, led by researchers at the Weill Cornell Medical College in New York, will explore the use of new or advanced MRI technology to better determine the benefits of MS therapies and identify biomarkers that predict a patient's disease course. Blake Dewey, with Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, will lead a project testing whether spinal cord MRI measures can be used to predict a transition to progressive MS, while researchers at Columbia will assess whether and how brain lesion location links to MS symptoms and outcomes. Restoring function. Four funded projects are expected to help find pathways to restore function in MS patients. One project, led by Katrina Adams, PhD with Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C., will explore the role of neural stem cells in the generation of myelin-producing cells and myelin repair in two mouse models of MS. Neural stem cells are able to give rise to several types of cells in the nervous system. Elizabeth Gromish, PhD with Mount Sinai Rehabilitation Hospital in Connecticut, will lead work to develop a fatigue self-management telehealth program available through a mobile application and test its effectiveness at easing MS-related fatigue in a clinical trial. An awarded project led by Valerie Block at UCSF aims to assemble a remote toolkit to monitor, test, predict, and eventually treat bladder dysfunction in MS patients in the home. Researchers at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland and the Cleveland Clinic will implement a new program to provide nurse scientists with advanced training and tools to focus their research on improving MS-specific rehabilitation. Ending MS. A project led by Ashley Beecham, Ph.D. at the University of Miami, is included in the Society's Ending the Disease Pathway. Beecham and her team will work to identify genetic risk factors of MS in Black, Hispanic, Latino people and assess how such variants associate with MS outcomes. Other investments. The National MS Society also awarded Sylvia Laurie Physician Fellowships to 6 physicians, providing up to 3 years of training for the design, implementation, and data analysis of MS clinical trials. 9 physicians specialized in neurology or in physical medicine and rehabilitation were granted clinical care fellowships, which provide a year of post-residency training with mentors to improve access to quality care for people living with MS. The Society also continued to lead and support efforts of the International Progressive MS Alliance, which awarded more than 1.4 million euros in May to 19 research projects focused on identifying new treatment targets and approaches for progressive MS. A total of $300,000 went to eSupport Health in April through the Society's Fast Forward program. The investment will be used to fund a clinical trial called Sunrise, evaluating the benefits of eSupport or face-to-face online support groups delivered to Black and Latino people and with MS, 2 patient groups historically underrepresented in research studies and inadequately treated for mental health. Earlier this year, the Society joined with the diabetes-focused JDRF and the Lupus Research Alliance to fund 8 research projects in underlying mechanisms that might be common to at least 2 of these 3 autoimmune diseases, MS type 1, diabetes, and lupus. New funding decisions related to research proposal focused on early MS detection will soon be announced, the Society noted, and additional opportunities for research support will open over the upcoming months to further advance its Pathways to Cures roadmap.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by John Connor, Fall Down, Get Up Again. He's fallen in the water. Any British comedy aficionados among you will know He's Fallen in the Water is the most famous of all the innumerable catchphrases of the Goon Show. That show was the root of Monty Python and every bit of the new wave of comedy that swept through our country, and it still dominates today. That's enough of the JC comedy lecture. You can ask me for a private one behind the bike sheds after school. I like to hang with the cool smoking kids, knowing that this sporty geek is likely to outlive them. A raison d'etre to actually be there. So yes, I've finally been able to get into my pool. Those pesky jet streams have finally curled up for a bit over Blighty. And the weather over the weekend was glorious. It was so glorious that it normally would have turned me into a puddle at 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Or if I really have to go modern, 32 degrees centigrade. Instead, I got into the pool. When I write, I got into the pool, it wasn't that simple. My wife Jane and son George heroically went through a series of hoisting endeavors to get me in. And once I was in, they had to make sure I didn't drown. By the second day, I wouldn't have blamed them if they'd let me. The fact that I'm still here to write this shows they are definitely on the kind side. By Sunday, any muscles I had left went into hiding. There was no strength for me to do anything. After being dragged out of the shower following my daily ablutions, I first had to be hoisted into my old mechanical chair, which had been fitted with a new flexible pool chair inside it. I know that all of these logistics are a tad boring. Let me liven it up with the fact that there was absolutely no way for me to get any trunks on. I'm sure that might not have pleased any of my curious neighbors who happened to be peering out their second floor windows. I also had to apply sunscreen myself. My wife certainly wasn't going to fall for the "I'm too weak to do it myself" argument. You gotta try. I've always been trying. Next, I had to be physically pushed and pulled to the side of the pool. A ramp to get me into the back garden had to be laid out. Then on went my new buoyancy jacket. That would help to stop the old drowning. But as it had only a 50 in buoyancy rating, if I turned over, it would happily keep me that way. After weeks of research, I found the jacket to be the least bulky option. Proper life jackets are rated at 150 in and are the size of a small adult. Also, they operate on a one-off gas cartridge. Anyway, I used my noodle like a high wire act. Who knew swimming could be so complicated for the disabled? I first tried a company that supposedly supplied gear for us lot, but what turned up was ridiculously small. My wife, who is 5'2" tall, could just about get it on, and even then it was like putting on a constricting snake. Someone had to be in the water as I was lowered in. Nothing's easy. I know this is a series of first world problems. I'm also aware of the contradiction of me frequently banging on about climate change while adding to it, though jet travel was hardly in my remit when everyone else was overdoing it. We also don't have air conditioning, so there's my attempt at guilty liberal balance. Add it to my swim one. What was surprising was how my legs are also buoyancy devices. The lymphedema apparently acts as a float. Water knows water. This meant that an attempt at an unnatural state of walking was nigh impossible. But there was a sweet spot in the deep end where I could force my legs down and suitably shuffle a few feet forward, then backward. It was a weird sensation and ultimately, after a few times, felt like a marathon, only without the concurrent cardiovascular problems. Getting out of the pool required the same process in reverse. My entire family was tired now. Still, I didn't get sunburned, where the sun usually never shines.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.